Y'all got it? 2 Timothy chapter 3.
Amen.
Thanksgiving Thursday. And I ask you this question: what did you do this week for the hungry, for the cold, for the homeless, for the hurting, for the lonely? Now, if nothing comes to mind, what are we doing? If we did nothing, what are we doing? We say, well, and it's not to me. This is not for me to judge you, because I don't know the answer. I don't know what you've done this week. I don't know how hard you've worked this week. Now, what have you done for the lost? There are people out there who need Jesus, and you know him. And you could show them how to be saved. You could tell them how to have their sins forgiven, washed away, how to know that they have eternal life. You know. We know. And we need to take some thought about that. Why are we here if not to meet that need? But in the process of meeting that need, could we make a difference? And other things. Did we respond to their cries? Did we turn away? Did we see it and do nothing? 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul writing to Timothy, and he makes a statement about the church, about some in the church, and he says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous time shall come." So as we get closer, it's going to get harder. How many of you believe that? As we get closer to the end days, right? How does he, the last days, it's going to be harder to do what Christians should do. It's going to be harder to be a church. We see the scrutiny and the criticisms that the church regularly receives. Churches, Christians regularly receive. When we're just standing by the same truth we've always stood by. God's word hasn't changed, but the world is changing. And the world expects the church to change, and the church can't change. The church has got to stand on the truth of the word of God. Now, can we change some of our methods? Of course. Of course. The things that are not prescribed by Scripture, we can change all of that. But we can't change Scripture. And we can't compromise Scripture. We've got to stand with the Word of God. We've got to stand with truth. Look at how he describes this church. He said, men, and he's not just talking about church, he's talking about the world, he's talking about people in general. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Hang on just a second, I've got to take a selfie real quick. Right? I got to show you me. You think people love themselves today more than ever before? I don't know if it's more, but they sure love themselves. Paul told Timothy, expect that to happen. People are going to love themselves. And you know what that means? If I love myself more than anybody else, who matters the most in the world to me? So I put myself before my wife, and I put myself before my children, and I put myself before my coworkers, and I put myself before my church, and I put myself before God. Because I deserve it. Because I have my rights. Men shall be lovers of their own selves and covetous. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Why can't I have that? Now see, it's no surprise to me when my five-year-old says that. Because he's five. And he needs some training. By the way, one of the best terms we could ever learn as parents and use it regularly is no. Amen. No. Just say no. And when they ask why, you say what? Because I said so. Amen. Y'all were in Sunday school. Because I said so. Covetous. I want. I want what you got. Why? Well, how come you got one and I don't have one? How come you got the promotion and I didn't get the promotion? How come you got a raise and I didn't get a raise? How come I don't ever have all the good stuff? Covetous. Covetous. Always wanting what somebody else has. Boasters. Boasters. And Facebook came along and fulfilled Scripture. Amen. Boasters. Now, I love pastors and I love my brothers in faith. But you don't have to brag every time you do something for somebody. You don't have to post it on Facebook every time you do something for somebody. Just do it. Don't brag about it. Don't boast about it. Don't tell everybody how good a Christian you are, what a good preacher and good pastor and good. We don't have to know. If it's true, you don't have to tell us. Proud. Yep. People are proud of themselves, aren't they? Have you ever met a politician, present company excepted? Brother Hall is a commissioner. That doesn't use the term I way more than he should. I. What happened to we? I. Proud. Blasphemers. People in the street burning Bibles. Holding signs opposing God. It's, you know, coming up on the holidays, they're going to start with all the nativity scenes. And let me say this. You should not expect to have one on the courthouse square if you don't have one at your church or at your house. That's the reason we have the Ten Commandments on front of the building. Because I saw where they had put the Ten Commandments at the courthouse in Dixie County, and I was, and then the somebody with the ACLU came along and said, you can't put the Ten Commandments at the courthouse. And so there was a big uproar. By the way, the guy didn't even live in Dixie County, and I don't know why he cared. But I was mad about it. Kind of, I don't know, does that make you mad? We can't put the Ten Commandments at the courthouse? And you know what the Lord said to me? Well, where are they at the church? Okay, we'll get some. And we did. Because how can we complain about them not being in the public square when they're not at the church square? And how can we complain about them not having nativity in the public square if we don't have one in the churchyard or at your house? You see? I mean, we expect the government to do our preaching for us. And it's our job to preach. Blasphemers. They're out there. They're going to be in full force. Take down the crosses. Take down the nativity. Take all that. They don't want to see Jesus. You know why? Because there's something inside of them that's trying to get them to turn to God, and they're resisting it for whatever reason. I won't try to understand their mindset, but I'm telling you, the fight against God and against the church and against Christianity is going to get more fierce as we go. In the last days, perilous times shall come. That's what he said. And disobedient to parents. Disobedient to... How many of you have seen this, and it's become, you know, a big deal, and we laugh about it? Listen to me, Linda. How many of you have seen that video? Y'all hadn't seen that? But we have watched that video because it expresses a point of a kid, I think he's like 4 years old, probably, and he's defiant toward his mom and calling her by her first name. In defiance. And so we see that disobedience to parents. We studied Job this morning in Sunday school, and we came back to that term, because I said so. And parents, sometimes that has to be the answer, because you are the authority. If we don't have authority in the home of mom and dad, or whoever the authority is in that home, because I know sometimes it's grandparents or whatever, but whoever the adult figurehead is, they need to have authority and take authority and be authoritative. Because if we don't teach them submission and obedience at home, they'll be in the streets resisting the obedience and submission to law. And when we lose law and order, we have anarchy and chaos, and we're closed. Guys, thank God we live where we do, but you know, there are some cities around this country that are facing this every night. Disobedient to parents, that's where it starts. The home is where it starts. Don't be mad when your teachers don't teach your kids what they need to teach if you're not doing homework with them and reading to them and all that kind of stuff. Guys, it's parents' responsibility. I want the Sunday school teachers at our church and our youth ministers to work with our children. I want our kids to get saved. That begins at home, mom and dad. You should be the one telling them how to be born again. You should be the one directing them toward baptism and directing them toward church attendance and all that kind of stuff. The parents, it's our job as parents. By the way, how many of you think parenting is easy? It's not. But if we don't do our job, how can we expect them to turn out right? Paul told Timothy, in the last days, perilous times will come, and people will be disobedient, kids will be disobedient to their parents, and they'll be unthankful. And that kind of goes together, doesn't it? Every time we receive something, we ought to be grateful. Every time we avoid calamity, we ought to be thankful. We're coming up on Thanksgiving. Isn't that great? One day a year where the whole country sets aside everything else to be gluttonous. That's not the point, is it? The point is to be thankful. Thankful to whom? The government? No, thankful to God. That's what it's about. To be thankful to God. The people are less and less thankful. In fact, they've dismiss God from their lives. And unholy, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Unholy, ungodly, where there is no division, where there is no distinction. Listen, coming to church ought to be different from everything else. Singing worship songs and praise Him, singing hymns to God, singing about the grace of God ought to be different from everything else we do. Spending time in the Word of God, it ought to be a unique time that's just between you and God every day. And when we come into church and there's preaching, it ought to be different from everything else we do. We don't have to have the entertainment, the drums and the trumpets. And by the way, the church I grew up in, we had drums and trumpets and bass and all that kind of stuff. I'm not opposed to it. But I'm telling you, we don't have to entertain. When we're singing songs to God, it ought to be from the heart. Amen. Verse 3, without natural affection. Now, we can take that to mean different things, but the truth is the affection, the way people love each other, is not as morphed. You know, men, two men ought to be able to be best friends and love each other and willing to lay down their lives for each other without having any kind of sexual ideas. And women the same way. And men and women the same way. Men and women ought to be able to work together and not turn it into some sexual thing. But we've sexualized everything. The idea of pedophilia, it's the next block on the road. They're coming for it. They want to legalize. They'll eventually it'll get it. And everybody that stands against it will be labeled a bigot. We're headed that way. You say, well, it'll never happen in America. Where have you been? In the last days, perilous times shall come. And you see, there are some people who are on that train and they don't see anything against it. What's wrong with it? It's just love, and love can never be wrong. That's not love, that's sickness. It's mental illness. And by the way, we used to label it as mental illness in this country. Perilous times shall come. Without natural affection. You know, children ought to love their parents, and parents ought to love their children. And brothers and sisters ought to love each other. Natural affection. Natural affection. But he says there won't be any of that natural affection because we've lost the order of the home. We fractured the home, which is the mainstay of society. Truce breakers. Anybody keep their word anymore? False accusers. Accusations. Lies. Here's the thing. In the last days, you think we're in the last days? You know, you can't even believe it if you see it anymore. They can change video, they can change audio, technology. If you don't see it with your own eyes happening in real life, you can't trust it. You have to take that tape, audio or video, and send it to forensics and make sure it's not been spliced and dubbed over and all that kind of stuff. You can't believe it. Hey, I'm going to tell you something that's just unbelievable. You can't believe everything you read on the internet. I know. I know it's shocking. Hey, you can't even believe everything you hear on the news. Yes, it is. Truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent. What does that word mean? I know we have a whole industry built on that. You know what that word means? No self-control. That's what it means. An inability to think it without saying it. Just because you thought it doesn't mean you should say it. And just because you know it's true doesn't mean you should repeat it. Lack of self-control. Fierce. Boy, have you ever lived in a day where there was more anxiety and more contention? Everybody wants to fight about everything. Everybody gets offended over everything. And by the way, yes, the other side gets offended, and so do you. So do I. So do we. Everybody's offended about everything. In fact, all I've been talking about for the last 10 minutes is how much I've been offended. The difference is, are we offended because of our holiness or are we offended because of our preference? There's a difference. Despisers of those that are good. When's the last time you praised somebody for doing good things? When's the last time you just praised somebody and just said, man, you just did a good job. You're a good person. I just admire you. When's the last time you did that? Despisers are those that are good. Now let me ask you, when's the last time you complained about somebody that didn't do what they should have? Easy to complain. Even despising those that are good. Traitors, he says in verse 4. Traitors. Who can you trust? Jesus said you won't even be able to trust the people in your own home. Traitors. Heady. High-minded. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Where is everybody today? Now look, I know some people are not here because they're sick. I know some people are not here because they have obligations. Some because of the COVID. But I got an idea. There are some that are not here today because of a ball game or a beach or a barbecue. I got an idea. And by the way, I'm for vacations. Amen. In fact, I want one. I'm for vacations. I'm in favor of vacations. You need to take a break and go and catch your breath and rest and rejuvenate and revive. But people put all kinds of things before God. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Verse 5. Let me say this. All these things that he's talking about here is not so that we can say, I see that in other people. It's so that we can say, hey, I don't see it in me. We need to keep this out of us. The whole point is when we examine ourselves, are we covetous? Are we high-minded? Are we lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God? Are we blasphemers? We need to look at ourselves. Are we disobedient to parents? Verse 5, having a form of godliness. You know what Paul said? Paul said, you'll find people like this in church. You'll find people like this with the appearance of Christianity, with the appearance of godliness. People like this. Denying the power thereof. They deny the power of God. They go to church, they're religious, but they don't believe in the power, the explosive energy of God. They missed it. They're not where they should be. They're not what they ought to be. They've just got this facade of Christianity. They dress up and they're religious and people say, well, that's a Christian. Let me advise you. Not everything that goes to church is a Christian. You say, well, that's judging. I'm just telling you that if we fit in these categories, and I'm talking about, look, all of us, I'm not here to stand in judgment of you. All I'm doing is bringing up the Word of God so you can judge you. So you can say, God, examine me. Search me inward and tell me if there's any wickedness in me and take it out. So you can do that between you and God, not me. I'm just bringing it out. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Verse 6, for this sort are they which creep in the houses, leave captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. In other words, there are people who use their religion for sinful purposes. They use it for monetary advantage. They use it for physical satisfaction. They use it to satisfy their ego. They use their religion for sinful purposes. Paul said that's the type you want to avoid. He said they're ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know why? Let me tell you something. Pay attention to me here. I'm glad you're in church today. And I'm glad you've been listening so far. But there will be a limit to what you can gain out of any Bible teaching until you get born again. The first step is for you to pray and say, God, I'm a sinner. And Jesus died for me, and I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and ask you to forgive my sins and save me. God, I give myself to you. Once you are saved, there are some things you can learn that you couldn't know before you got saved. You can study this book all you want. How many of you have ever read or read after or seen an interview with a theologian, and you could tell by the things they were saying, they didn't know what the Bible is all about? Let me tell you, you may be able to eloquently recite Psalm 23, but I know the shepherd. And that makes a difference. That's where it is. It's not about talk. It's about knowing Jesus Christ. He talks about in verse 8, Jannes and Jambres. And he says there at some point, verse 9, they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest to all men as theirs also was. In other words, don't worry. Don't worry about trying to expose somebody that you think is a fraud, because it'll come out. Don't work hard. You say, well, that person's a fraud. He's a hypocrite. Or she's not really a Christian. Well, don't make it your business. It'll come out. All you got to do is stay out of the way. Because if you try to expose them, you look like the bad guy. Just let them keep running. Till at some point, it'll be obvious that they never were. Verse number 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine. In verses 10 and 11, he talks about his life and he says, you have fully known. So we talked about up in verse 1 through 5 what we shouldn't be, right? And now in verse 10, he talks about what should be apparent of us. Thou hast fully known my doctrine. Do people know what you believe? Do people know what you believe? Well, I mean, it'd be hard to tell you all that at once, but just take this book and say, I believe the whole thing. All of it. Even on the back where it says Holy Bible, I believe that part too. I believe all of it. Well, what about this? If it's in here, I believe it. I may not believe the way you twist it. I may not believe your slant on it, but I believe the Word of God. Thou hast fully known my doctrine. People should know our doctrine. Secondly, he says, my manner of life. Do people know what kind of person you are, how you live your life? Or are you secretive? My purpose. How many of you know what you would say people know your purpose? Hey, let me ask you this. Do you know your purpose? Do you have purpose? You know what's sad? And I see it all the time. People who have no purpose. They don't know why they're here. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know where they're going. No purpose. Let me tell you something. When you give your life to Christ, When you surrender yourself to Him, He'll give you purpose. And number one purpose is to get all your friends and family to heaven. You can't drag them, but you can tell them about the Savior. Tell them how to be born again. My manner of life, my purpose, my faith. Do people know your faith? Do people know you believe in Almighty God, in Jesus Christ, His Son, and the Spirit of God, our Comforter? Do they know that you believe that lest a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven? Except a man be born again. You know what I believe? God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I believe that. Every word, every page. My faith, do people know you're long-suffering? Are you long-suffering? Do you have patience? Do you hang in there? Remember what we looked at with Boaz? How many of you remember about Boaz? We looked at him not long ago. And what was the big statement? Man, it was just, it was life-changing for me when I read that this last time. It, Ruth and her family, or Naomi and her family, left Israel, remember, because there was a famine. They left and went over to Jordan, to Moab. And then when they came back, guess who had stayed? Boaz had stayed. Boaz stayed. And what do we know about Boaz? He had all this land. He had built this empire. He had all this huge farm. And you know why he had all that he had? Because he didn't leave and go to Moab when times got tough. You know what long-suffering is? Long-suffering means you stick to it. You hang in there. You stay with it. People have lost that. They've lost that on everything. Long-suffering. Charity. Do people see love in you, charity in you? And charity is to give when you expect nothing in return, just love and patience. Paul said, Timothy, you've seen that in me. You know who I am. And you've seen my faith in my persecutions, verse 11, and my afflictions. Do you quit when times get tough? Do you stop believing because times were tough? Or do you hang in there? How many of you have had some challenges in life? So did you quit God? Paul says, I've been through persecutions and afflictions, but I didn't quit believing. Verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There's going to be trouble in life. We're all going to have trouble in life. It happens. Verse 13, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. In other words, the world is full of trouble and it's only going to get worse. My neighbor used to tell me that growing up. I say, how you doing? He said, not good, but it'll get worse. Or sometimes he'd say, 100 years from now, nobody will know the difference. Paul tells Timothy, verse 14, you're going to have trouble. There's trouble all around you, but you continue in the things which thou hast learned. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Paul says, Timothy, stay with the book. Stick to the Word of God. There's going to be a lot of confusion and there are going to be a lot of different messages from every different direction and you won't know who to believe about the facts or about the truth. But he says, you know what? You can count on the Word. Count on the Word. Don't raise your hand, but I'm just asking this question for you to judge because I'm not your judge. Do you read your Bible every day? Are you in the Word every day? Are you hungry for God to teach you through His Word? Paul says, Timothy, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Stick with it. You've learned it from a child, verse 15. The Holy Scriptures which are able to make thee wise. How many of you want to be wise? The Scripture. Stay with the book. Why? Because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. What is inspiration? Inspiration is when you breathe. That's inspiration. When you breathe. you inspire. God has breathed this book into existence through men, through the, in other words, He gave them the breath. He gave them the words. They wrote it. It's been handed down to us, and it's profitable. It's profitable. It's useful for doctrine. In other words, what we teach. To teach others. How many of you would like to help somebody else in their life? You just want to help them do better. John Maxwell, great. Zig Ziglar, great. Dave Ramsey, great. You'll never go wrong with the Word of God. There are some great speakers and lots of people who can inspire you and coach you. But let me tell you, the best thing you could ever do is fall in love with God's Word and get in it and learn from it, reading the Proverbs, reading every page, every word. Let it change your life. Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be truly furnished. What's that last part? Unto good works. Not just to have the knowledge, not just so that we can have it in us, but so we can apply it and make a difference. Paul says, Timothy, let me tell you, it's bad and it's going to get worse. Just came to encourage you today. But you'll never go wrong if you stick with the Word of God. Stay with God. The messages are coming from every direction. But one message we can count on, and that's God's message. Would you stand?